Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open, how American Express serves small business. Open offers a range of products and services designed exclusively for small business. Details at 888-779-OPEN or open.com.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we now have our latest Brian Lehrer Show photo gallery up for the holidays. In case you haven't seen it yet, you can still contribute to it or just go and see it. It's called Snap the Season, and we want to see the meaning of the holidays for you in photography. Still collecting, and there's some neat stuff up there. Go to WNYC.org and post a photo of something that defines the Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Eid, solstice time for you. Symbols of peace and justice or the lack thereof, expressions of faith, family fun or discord, gluttony, Barney's windows, lines at the airport, all fair game. Make it visual, make it meaningful, and make it good. Post to our latest photo gallery or just go and see the gallery called Snap the Season at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Well, today, as you may know, marks the second anniversary of one of the worst natural disasters in human history, the Indian Ocean tsunami that claimed the lives of 230,000 people. Mind-boggling to think of 230,000 dead and more than 2 million homeless. One of the hardest hit areas was the Aceh region of western Indonesia that was so much in the news at the time, where 170,000 people estimated were killed. My next guests are two sisters from New York who have spent the last 2 years working to help those affected by the tsunami in Aceh province. Sarah Fraud Henderson worked as a banker in Jakarta for 16 years, and her sister Martha Fraud Hafri is a retired social work professor from Hunter College. They founded a nonprofit organization called Building Bridges to the Future to rebuild and provide social services to those who are still trying to survive. So please welcome them with me to the Brian Lehrer Show. Good morning, Fraud sisters, Martha and Sarah. Thank you for your work, and thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
So as our attention is brought back to the events of that day, Martha, what is the most important issue that the public needs to be made aware of today on the second anniversary?
I think there are many important issues, but one particular one is that disasters are not helped in a short time. It takes a very long time to recover from a disaster such as this. And the rebuilding has been slow and fought with a lot of, I think, difficult kind of political and budget and collaboration coordination problems, which imagine would be the same in any kind of situation.
Sarah, you have lived in Indonesia. Were you in Jakarta when the tsunami struck?
No, Brian. I was home for Christmas, and I didn't go up to Aceh until the middle of March. I went with a friend of mine, and when I saw what I saw, it was so devastating that I took a trip out to the West Coast, which had been the worst hit of all of Aceh, and what I saw there was made, you know, the city look good. And
the city of Aceh.
Right.
People have said they could never have prepared themselves for the amount of devastation. Did you have that experience?
Yes. And for the stories people tell and for the look in people's eyes and the feeling of, you know, I don't know, just they didn't know, you know, which way to go, because basically they were left naked as babies. They had nothing.
And Martha, did you go with her, and that's the first time
No,
you went?
No, actually, I landed in Jakarta. I was going to teach for an intercession, and I landed there the actual day of the tsunami and got quite involved with
wow.
social work efforts that were being manned to bring people up there and to help the Department of Social Services, basically, with some of the crisis efforts.
What was that like?
Well, actually, it was people were stunned. The news was a little slow to get out, so that nobody quite knew exactly what had happened, nor did they know the extent of what had happened. When it was known, Indonesia was in a great state of mourning. It was really a very tragic, tragic time, I know for the world, but particularly for that country.
And I imagine more than just mourning, if you arrived there on the day of the tsunami, there were immediate physical needs that must have had to be attended to.
Oh, yes, but people really didn't quite know, in Jakarta at least, because Aceh is quite a distance from Jakarta itself, and nothing had really been felt in Jakarta. So,
oh, you were in Jakarta.
Yes, I was not up in Aceh.
I see. Forgive me. Right. I see. Beyond housing, which is an obvious area in which to work, what are some of the other areas in which your foundation, Building Bridges, is working?
Okay. In Aceh, we are also doing clean water, trying to bring back clean water. The housing was in one village, and this one village so far, we have done a borehole, and now the water is desalinated, and it's okay for them to drink. I think one of the biggest things that needs to be done, and we've been doing some of it, is livelihoods. I don't think people are aware that the World Food Program is cutting aid to all people in houses as of the end of this month. And most of those people don't have the wherewithal to earn a living to buy food. And so it could very well just be another humanitarian disaster.
And we can open the phones to any listeners who may want to ask Martha and Sarah about their foundation that is helping with this rebuilding work in Aceh province. Maybe you even have family in one of the tsunami-affected areas, and you would like to update the rest of our listeners on how your family members are coping 2 years later or how their areas are recovering. Give us a call if you're in any of those categories at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or you can email Brian Lehrer Show at WNYC.org. Sarah, there have also been reports that food aid is being cut from tsunami survivors, and I wonder if this is due to lack of funding, or do governments believe that survivors no longer need the assistance?
It's not due to lack of funding. The World Food Program, which is part of the United Nations, on their website states that $88 million has been set aside for food for 206 and 207 for the Indonesian tsunami victims. So, and none of us are really sure why the aid is being cut at such a crucial time.
Who's making that decision?
Right now, it was made by the World Food Program, the Department of Social Welfare, and the agency that handles Aceh for the government.
Right. And your perception is that it is an inappropriate decision?
Premature, let's say.
Right. Martha, another unique aspect of this event was the amount of donations that were received from around the world to
yes.
help the victims. And
yes.
your sister says it's still not a problem, but donation pledges for tsunami relief were unprecedented, reaching, according to what I've read, somewhere around $13.6 billion.
Yes.
However, there are also reports that a third of the pledges were never sent and that money is being lost to corruption and mismanagement. How much of a problem do you think that is?
I don't think it's a problem. I think there's a lot of money available for the rebuilding and for aid to that area. As a matter of fact, there's so much money that it was allocated to the tsunami. And in Indonesia, there was a devastating earthquake that occurred a while ago in another part of Indonesia. And the money that was earmarked for Aceh cannot be sent to this other area. So that in many ways, I think there's a lot of resources still available to help in that area.
What would you say is the major barrier or several major barriers, if you want to list more than one, to your rebuilding efforts with Building Bridges?
I think our rebuilding efforts are lack of funds and lack of partnerships. We've partnershiped with UNIFEM, which is a UN agency. We've partnershiped with ThyssenKrupp, a big German steel company. And we've tried to set up as many partnerships as possible because we're on the ground and we are a community-based group. And if people have money but don't want to be on the ground, then we can facilitate whatever they want to do.
Apparently, there were commercial land grabs in parts of Thailand, I read, where coastal homes were destroyed. Is purchasing land a significant hurdle for the rebuilding process in Aceh? Are you seeing similar activity in Indonesia?
No, we're not seeing land grabs on a commercial basis at all in Aceh. I think mainly because the first year was during the Civil War. But what we are seeing is that land that has been submerged, and these villagers don't have any land, and new land was drawn out, and that's where they're living now, has never been paid for by the government, who has the money to pay for it. And so there are quite a lot of people who are not in permanent houses, some in tents.
And landless.
My guest on WNYC on the second anniversary of the tsunami in the Indian Ocean are Sarah Fraud Henderson and Martha Fraud Haffey, who are sisters who have co-founded the group Building Bridges to the Future to help rebuild and provide social services to those who are still trying to survive in the hardest hit area, Aceh Province, Indonesia. Put on your headphones because we're going to take a phone call for you right now.
Thank you.
At 212-433-WNYC, and it's Kathy on Long Island. Hi, Kathy. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, and I just want to commend the work that these two are doing. And my question is, if you don't set a deadline for aid to be cut off, would it not be true that people would just be wards of the state indefinitely? I'm just trying to get a glimpse into the reasoning behind cutting off the food aid, because I assume there is some kind of a reason.
I would agree with you, Kathy, that there has to be some timeline. But I think that people have to have livelihoods and have housing and means to get back to their normal way of life before you can cut off food and water. The water that's being cut off in March, they're going to be charged each village $850 US approximately to get clean water. Now, in a good year before the tsunami, these villages didn't have $850.
It seems to me that if the food aid is going to be cut, it should be on a rational basis about actually how people are recovering with their lives. And there's still a lot of land that was farmland that is submerged or also has a lot of sand and the salt water still on it and has to be reclaimed in order for people to be able to farm it.
Well, so many people are still homeless and don't have jobs. Sarah, as a former banker, what do you see as the most effective way to use the funds that are available for rebuilding?
Okay, I think possibly the two most effective ways is housing, and the second is livelihood training, because people not only lost their physical infrastructure, but they also lost their social infrastructure. And people really only concentrate on building the physical infrastructure and not concentrate on the social infrastructure, like livelihoods, which really have to be rebuilt.
And so, Martha, you're the social worker.
Yes.
Retired social work professor at Hunter College. Have you ever seen anything approaching this kind of social work challenge in the United States?
Never, never. It's to see everything wiped out. The only thing I want to say, though, also is I think there's an Eastern expression that has to do with in every crisis there's an opportunity. And I do think one of the things that's happened in the rebuilding and in the rebuilding of some of these social structures and systems, there's an opportunity to change systems that either didn't exist at all. I'm talking about like child welfare systems, uh-huh. which did not exist before. And now UNICEF, along with local partners, is really trying to put in a child welfare system. So there's a lot of possibility.
So as a social worker, you're focusing less maybe on people's immediate, you know, post-traumatic stress or that kind of thing, and more on the institutional infrastructure?
Putting in systems that could last and could be very, very helpful for people in the future.
Well, we're just about out of time. Do you want listeners to contact you? Are you looking for donations? Are you looking for volunteers? Anything?
We're looking for partners, donations. If a volunteer would like to come to Aceh, we would take any volunteers.
And the group is called Building Bridges for the Future. How can people contact you?
We're on the web. We have a website, and it's
buildingbridgestothefuture.org.
Buildingbridgestothefuture.org. Martha and Sarah, the founders, thank you very much for that work and for coming in today.
Thank you.
And that's it for our program today. I want to thank the team that we put together for this show, Priya George, Kate Hines, Kara Woodward, and Mark Phillips. Jim Colgan and Nuala McGovern are on vacation. Tomorrow, Mike Pesca will be here. Thursday, Alice Ree will be here. I'll be back Friday for our end of year news quiz. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.